are now listening to the Discover Life podcast, brought to you by Pastor Adbosso. We trust that you will be blessed by this message.
So I want to continue to talk about being a builder. And my message this morning, Jesus the builder. Jesus the builder. My question again this morning is, what is it that you are building? How are you building? I'm sure when you get to heaven one day, you don't want to find out that you build the wrong thing in this world, or you were not connected in building to what has eternal worth and value. I've realized I have one life to live, and I need to spend that life wisely. That's why we saw in the Word of God, the Bible says again and again, as a wise master builder. So what am I giving my life to? Am I laying my life down for a worthy cause? What am I building as a doctor, an engineer, a sportsman, a student, a housewife? What is it that I am building? I don't want to get to heaven one day and find out that I climbed the wrong ladder. I reached the top, but I climbed the wrong ladder. I never lived the life that God called me to live. So there's a lot of people that have great success in this world, but in the life hereafter, if they make eternal life and in the presence of God, they will not receive the reward that God placed them on this earth for. And I want to stand before Jesus, and I'm sure you as well, and you will want to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. So what is it that I'm building? What is God doing in the earth today? People ask me all the time. Every year, people think God's got a new word for planet earth. And sure, there are prophetic seasons and times where God will do special things. But what is God building? Where is God's focus? What is Jesus coming back for? Who is Jesus coming back for? Well, we're going to go to the Bible today and see whether the lives we are living and what we are building is pleasing to God our Father. So Matthew chapter 16, the Bible says in verse 13, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they answered, and they said, some say you are John the Baptist, some Elijah, some Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? I thank God that we have a new generation arising in the church that are not excited about God because of their parents, but they have their own revelation from God or of God. Can you, one young person, say amen and give the Lord a praise in the house? Come on there in Pretoria, Durban, Johannesburg. Come on. Because God has no grandchildren and he has no orphans. You must be born again. My children serve God not because I am a pastor. They were born again as well. And they love Jesus and are passionate about the things of God, not because they're dead. I raised them in the ways of God, but they have their own encounter with God and their own relationship. So he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said to him, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I say to you that you are Peter, no longer Simon, tossed to and fro, a reed-like character, but now you will be Peter, a little rock. You will be like me, and you will live life the way I intend for you to live. It says you are Peter. Peter means a little rock, or it means a concrete. He says, on this rock, the revelation that Jesus is the Christ, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Listen now, and I will give you, Peter, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Interesting passage of scripture that I want to delve into this morning. But firstly, I want to make the statement and say, Jesus is a builder and he's building his church. Matthew 16, 18 again, he said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. So what is God doing in the earth today? He's building the church. I thank God for the church. I'm a fan of the church. I thank God for the local church because it's in the church that I met Jesus Christ. It's in the church that I met my She's a long-legged woman dressed in black that I met my wife. It is in the church that my children were born. It is in the church that I learned to hear the voice of God. It is in the church that I discovered and learned the Holy Scriptures. It's in the church that I was discipled. It's in the church that I made destiny relationships. Oh, come on. I thank God for the church, an institution like no other institution in the world, filled with glory and grace. A city set on a hill. The very thing that Jesus came to this world for, to build his church. What Jesus died for. What was birthed on the day of Pentecost, the local church. What Jesus is coming back for one day, the local church. So I want to be part of the local church. I want to be part of the local church. I want to be part of the local church because that is what God is building. He said, I will build my church. The word church, we know in Greek, means ecclesia, called out of. Call in the world, not of the world. We are God's family. Look around you. They're in Durban. Look around you. Every tongue, tribe, and nation. The church that is not defined by culture, by color, by social status, by tradition. The church that is defined by the blood of Jesus Christ, washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Come on. Sanctified by the Spirit of God, redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord. Come on. People out of every tongue, tribe, and nation. One church washed in the blood of Jesus. Come on. Somebody give the Lord praise for the church today. Hallelujah. Oh, you can do better than that. The church. Come on. Give the Lord a praise for the church. Hallelujah. And tell the person sitting next to you, I'm glad you're part of the church. Come on. I'm glad you're part of the church. I'm glad you're part of the church. Come here, Pastor Harry, quickly. Pastor Shadrach, come here. Pastor Corbis, come here quickly. The church. Fani, come here quickly. The church. Dries, come here quickly. Come, Pastor Rafael, come here quickly. Pastor Gabriel, come here quickly. Melia, come here quickly. Sonet, come here quickly. Pietro, come here quickly. The church. The church, the church. No color, no age. No male, neither female. Oh, it's the man's hour. It's the black man's hour. It's the white man's hour. No! It's the church's hour. Because Jesus came to build the church. I thank God for the church. It's not a political party. You don't join the church. You are born into the church. Jesus is the door into the church. Whether you have money or have no money, your money won't get you to heaven. Your education won't get you to heaven. Your culture won't get you to heaven. Your tradition will not get you to heaven. But the blood of Jesus will get you to heaven. That's why Jesus said, who do you say that I am? And Simon said, you are the Christ. Hallelujah. You are the Messiah. You are the only way. You're not one of the ways. You are the way, the truth, and the life. Come on. Without the revelation that Jesus is the Christ, you cannot even enter the church. So when God looks at the church, he doesn't see color. I mean, because God doesn't look at the outward appearance. We see color. We say, well, now, they are different to us. Who are the they? Them. They have a different coat of paint, but they are the church. Because the church is defined by the new birth. What Jesus does in the hearts of human beings. The Bible says God doesn't look at the outward appearance. God doesn't come and say, okay, you've got gray hair, so I respect you more. Oh, you look educated, so you're going to have a special place in my kingdom. Oh, you between black and white, so I really feel sorry for you. You know, some people live with a chip on the shoulder. Actually, two chips. They're now balanced. Amen. I mean, Satan will do everything to destroy the church because whatever Jesus builds, the devil wants to dismantle. Whatever Jesus is in, the devil wants to get you out of. He'll get you busy with everything outside the local church. You better understand that. And he uses the same weapon that is used for thousands of euros called offense. Well, I don't like going to CRC because, you know, that black man sitting next to me, he's too loud. And the black brother thinks, what's up with you? I mean, why? It's not just white men can't jump. White men can't praise the Lord. Come on, is there a white person here that will give the Lord a shout of praise today? Hey! So he'll do everything to divide. Because he knows, Jesus said, a house divided cannot stand. So God is a builder. Satan is a dismantler. Satan is a breaker down. And he will give you every reason in the world to be a Christian but not to be part of a local church, to live your own life. I don't question the fact that you are a brick, not insulting you. You are a Christian. But how many Christians, because of offense, live outside? They're outside the house, like the little outhouse. And their lives have become smelly because they're not building. They're criticizing. They're accusing. They're judging everything. They're slanderers. They know something, so they go about slandering. They're not builders. Well, God is a builder. The devil is a divider. God is a gatherer. The devil is a scatterer. So you want to be a gatherer like God? Oh, come on, say amen, somebody, in Jesus' name. So you can be a Christian, but are you building? I'm going to ask it again. You may be a Christian, but are you in a building? Are you part of a building? Are you part of the building that God is building in the earth? There's a lot of people who sit on the sideline of Christianity. Shabbat, Shabbat, Shandai, read their Bible, pray their little prayer, but they're not in the house. And Jesus said, I will build my church. Every letter that God writes to the church is to the elder of the church, not to the member, the brick, that's dislocated from the church. A lot of offended Christians, burnt stones. We saw when Nehemiah built the wall, he could not because of the burnt stones. Oh, I used to be in the band, but I got mad with a music director. I came to church and somebody took my parking. Okay, people get offended. Offense is nothing new. Jesus addressed it. He said, forgive your brother 70 times 7. Be reconciled to your brother. There's not a scripture in the Bible that tells you to be dislocated, to go sit by yourself and read your Bible by yourself, or maybe gather two or three other bricks. And you think that's church. You won't find that pattern anywhere in the Bible. Nowhere. Jesus said, I will build my church. And my church isn't defined by age. It's not defined by sex. It's not defined by color. It's not defined by culture. It's not defined by background. It's not defined by social standing. It is defined by blood, the revelation that Jesus is the Christ. Come on, everybody that is redeemed today, give the Lord Jesus a praise in the house, and you may take your seats. Thank you. Hallelujah. I will build my church. It's His church. It's His church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. I will build my church, unstoppable. I want to be part of the church. I don't just want a fish on my car, a fish on my letterhead, be a religious person that takes up space and is not a builder. Well, if Jesus is a builder, I want to be a builder, because He said, imitate me. Be imitators of God. John 20:21, as my Father sent me, so sent I you. So what does the devil want to do? He uses deception, where people actually believe a lie and they think they follow God. That's why we go back to scripture, to the pattern of God's word. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. So in your lifetime, I've been born again for many years, I had many reasons to leave the church. My beginning years as a pastor, I had many reasons to be discouraged and to bail out of this calling of God. I tell you honestly, my first 7 years under my pastor, most of my friends got offended in the church and left the church. But where are they today? Nowhere. Because normally when people get offended, they, "Ooh, I'm a brick. I'm a brick. I'm a brick. I feel so good. I'm a brick." And it's okay to celebrate your brickiness for a while. And then, what holds the building together, which I will show you today, which is not your theology, your philosophy, your offense, your doctrine, your opinion, doesn't hold a building together. We understand the Bible says, by this all men will know you are my disciples, by the love you have one for another. Love never fails. Love forgives. Love thinks no evil. Love goes the extra mile. That is the foundation that we're building on, because Jesus as the foundation. 1 John chapter 4 says, God is love. Jesus is God. So the foundation is love. So when we violate the word and the principles of God, we break down the temple. And Satan loves to break the temple, because Jesus builds the temple. So what is so special about the church? What are you part of when you come into membership of a local church? Let me make it clear. The local church is the visible expression of the universal church. There has to be the local church. Paul writes to Galatia. He says to the churches in Galatia. So people get all confused and they say, well, we don't believe in the local church. We just believe in the interdenominational church. Well, that's stupid. That's like saying we don't believe in a human being. We just believe in people. And we say, what are their names? People. We don't believe in business. So you're in sales or you're a chartered accountant. Take the name of your business and just join all the chartered accountants and just share all the profits and demonstrate what you say the church should be. Live what you say the preacher must live. But the Bible teaches us family. Israel were 12 tribes, one nation, 12 tribes. So as CRC, we have a clear redemptive purpose and an identity. Doesn't make us better than anybody else, but it does make us different. And I know I'm part of this different tribe, and I'm proud of this different tribe, and I'm going to build this different tribe using my gifts, my talents, and my time. Come on, somebody help the preacher and say amen today in Jesus' name. Too many have become silent and are sitting on the sideline. Get back in the game. Get back on the wall. Become a builder again. Build what Jesus died for. Lay your life down what Jesus laid his life down for. Whether you're a doctor, a lawyer, a teacher, you are yet to build what Jesus is building. Say a good amen in Jesus' name. So why is the church so special? Number one, the church. It's not number one, but I want to say this. It's an institution like nothing else. It's like people give themselves for everything and they think the church is the by-the-way thing. It's like they say, I'm going to go to church. It's the same as saying, I'm going to be a human being today. And tomorrow, I don't feel like being. I know some of you don't feel like human beings, so you don't feel like being a human being, but you are a human being. So you don't come and say, I go to church. Or I don't go to church. Church is who you are. Church is your life. This is the visible expression of church when you come together on Sunday. It's not like you have an option one day. You get up and you say, okay, my hand's going to stay in the bed today. You know, I've got a pain in my toe, so I'm going to work, but I'm leaving my toe. You know what gets dislocated loses blood eventually. So when people start treating the church like an option, they gradually dislocate from the life of God, which is in the house of God, in the body, not in my pinky. My body will go on without this finger, but this finger won't go on without the body. I can cut it off and it's going to look fine. It might even move a little bit by itself. You know, freaky, move. Okay? But I mean, this can't live without this. This will suffer a little bit, but can live without this. That's why people don't get it. Your life is attached to the body. Why? Why must you be attached to the body? Simple. It's God's way, not man's way. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates are. So there's a way that Jesus is building his church. He didn't ask your opinion. And 2,000 years later, he's not going to ask your opinion about how he builds his church on the earth. He's not going to ask your opinion. He just builds with, listen, or without. And he doesn't want to build without you. But God is unstoppable. If you get offended and sit on the sideline, the movement of God, the kingdom of God will continue because it is unstoppable, not because of CRC or any great apostle. It is unstoppable because Jesus said, hey, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. Come on, somebody give Jesus a praise in the house. Hallelujah. 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 When I got saved, I immediately got planted in a church. I immediately got involved. 33 years later, I'm still involved in the local church. Not because I'm the pastor. A lot of pastors who have fallen out of this race. I realize that the only life that is worth living is the Christ life, the Jesus life. What did Jesus come to do? What will I stand before God for and give account? Not the business I built. But what did the business build for God's kingdom? Well, Jesus says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses himself? I mean, some people are so busy building their business that they have no time for God's kingdom. They have so great expenses of expansion that they don't have money to build God's house. Well, if everybody gave the way you gave, what would the future of God's kingdom be? Jesus is a builder. We build using our time, our treasure, and our talent. So every doctor, every businessman, no matter how busy your life, should be engaged in building the church that Jesus is building. And I'll show you why, and I'll show you how. But first, why is the church so special? Number one, it is the dwelling place of God in the earth. God lives in the church, not outside the church. I'll give you the scripture. Ephesians 2 verse 19, the Bible says, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, senior ministry gifts, Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. So no church will be established without the apostle and prophet functioning in that church, because God made it that way. Thank you for your amens. We all have the same spirit, but we all don't have the same measure of the spirit. We all have grace, but we don't all have the same measure of grace. So God builds his church a certain way. And he's not going to negotiate because you're independent, because you want to control the pastor. He's not going to negotiate with you. You are built, your life is built upon the foundation Jesus laid by the apostolic and prophetic ministry. Now in this church we're not into titles, but you better understand that we understand and know the function and the offices of the ministry gifts that Jesus places in the church. And I think people get confused because we're charismatic. People think, well, I have the Holy Ghost, Art Bosov has the Holy Ghost, everybody has the Holy Ghost. Let's just all do what we feel like doing. Nothing can be further from the truth. Because to build anything, you first lay a foundation. You get the engineer, you get the architect, you get the structural engineer, the construction, the contractor. You get specialized ministry to lay the foundation before the bricklayers come and build a building. It's like a guy's called to build, and he now wants to run the church. That would be like the pastor who has the anointing walk into your business and say, well, from today, I'm going to run your business. Put me on your directorship. Thank you for your enthusiasm when I preach the truth, because we're going to get into real issues in this series so that we can get this church healthy from the bottom to the top and become that unstoppable force and get rid of all independence. Thank you. I don't expect a clap. Get rid of all independence, because the devil is independent. All independence. All wanting to do things my own way. And we're going to become, those who are left, part of the house that God is building. Unstoppable, immovable, for the glory of God. Come on, can somebody say amen? Come on, Pretoria. Shout amen up there. Johannesburg, East Rand. Come on, Durban. God is building a great thing. The only way the devil can stop it is from within, as we saw Nehemiah building the walls. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I close with a question. Who do men say that I am? Some say you are John the Baptist, Jeremiah, Elijah, one of the prophets. But who do you say that I am? Who is Jesus to you? I went to church for years and read my Bible, prayed every night, Lord, forgive all my sin. Had no revelation of Jesus. In John chapter 3, Jesus said, you must be born again. In John chapter 10, Jesus said, I'm the door into the sheepfold. You come into God's kingdom only one way. John chapter 14, 6, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. The revelation that Jesus is the Christ will change your life forever. The Spirit of God is here, as I preached in our worship Maybe you're standing here today, you realize that you are lost. They're in Durban. They're in Johannesburg. Forget the people around you. Pretoria, East Rand. You're in Bloemfontein. You're standing in this place or in one of those churches and you realize that you are lost. You realize if you die today, you will not go to heaven. Maybe at one time you served God passionately, but you've grown cold and you've wandered away from your father's house like the prodigal son. And today God is stirring your heart. You realize you cannot continue down that journey. You need to come back to Jesus. Thank you for being here today. God loves you. A great privilege to speak to you. I want to lead you in a prayer today that I know will change your life forever as you give your life to Jesus today. Everybody pray with me in all our other churches as well. Pray with me right now. Say, Lord Jesus, I give you my heart. I give you my life. Thank you that you love me so much that you died for my sin. I believe with all my heart you rose from the grave. I believe you are alive. I surrender my life to you. I invite you today to be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for a new beginning. Thank you for washing me in your blood. Thank you for giving me the power to be a child of God. I will follow you, Jesus, forever and ever. You are my Lord and my Savior. Use me, I pray, for your glory, to build your church and to reach my world for you. I surrender all to you in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to today's sermon. For more information on this ministry, visit our website at www.crc.org.za.